Okay, the words of Jesus that I'm going to talk about tonight is very well known, very well known. And sometimes when you choose as your text in preaching a really well-known set of scriptures, we often have this tendency to tune out, okay? But don't do that, please. I want you to look at it as if you've not seen it before. Look at it from a fresh perspective, and hopefully we'll get some new insight into what's going on here when Jesus tells this very important story. So anyway, I've got some treats up here, prizes. If you can win it, it will be yours after the service, not right away. That's after the service. All right, the message is called 70 times 7. Now, Peter went to ask Jesus a question. Okay, so let's look at that question. Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him, this is Jesus, and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" So he knows that if somebody sins against him, he is supposed to forgive. You know, that almost goes without saying, right? You'd be surprised how many Christians go through life who will not forgive. And that's sad, because wait till you get to the end of this. Okay? So how often shall I let my brother sin against me and then I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, you have to understand, the Jewish tradition was three. Maybe that's where we got the three strikes and you're outlaw. I don't know. But the thing is, the Jewish tradition was three times. Once you sin against me more than three times, so on the fourth try, I'm done. I'm not forgiving you. In fact, they might would extradite you, put you out of the church or do whatever. But Peter went a little further. Till seven times. Why? Because he's a disciple of Jesus. I think I should do better than what tradition says. I'm going to do it up to seven times. Next verse. Jesus comes back and he says unto him, Peter, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Okay, this is not the prize question, but how many times is that?
490.
Yeah, 490. Ha, I should have had a third prize up here. Sorry, you would have won. All right, so 490 times. Now, if you read this literally, that means you have to keep a little notebook, right? All right, Rhonda sinned against me about 200 times already, so, you know, I still got 290 more to go. And I don't know, maybe Matthew, I got to write down some number for him, and everybody else, I got to keep track. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not telling you to keep track. But basically, he's saying to Peter, he's like saying, look, your number is just way, way off. 70 times 7, 490 times, I'd lose count. And that's the point. You lose count. You forgive people and you lose count. And so Jesus is giving him something that is enormously high. He's setting the bar so high that it's difficult to attain. But you must attain it, because Jesus is saying this. And so now this suddenly launches Jesus into a comparison of heaven. Okay? So let's look what he says in verse 23. He goes, "Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened," in other words, I'm telling you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says, "unto a certain king." Now we know who the king is. That would be Christ. Jesus himself. And he says here, "unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Okay? And so Peter understood what it meant to give an account. Let me show you in 1 Peter 4 and 5, the next verse here. 1 Peter 4 and 5, he wrote in his epistle, "Who shall," talking about everyone, "who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick," no, not fast, "the quick" means alive, "and the dead. Somebody is going to be judging you, and you have to give an account to him. Who's him? That would be Jesus, that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Okay? Peter understood what Jesus told him. So now back to the story. 18 verse 24. Okay, so now when he had begun to reckon, this is the king, and he's likening heaven to this. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, we say that, we read that, and we just kind of gloss over it. We don't know really what it means unless you read your study notes. And I don't want you to do that right now. I don't want you to read your study notes. The thing is, that represents billions in our today's money. Now, I don't know who all is a billionaire. Maybe you can help me on this, but I would say the guy from Apple, maybe Bill Gates is a billionaire, and George Soros and several others, they're billionaires, and that's what this represents. So this man owes it's one of those things where you scratch your head, and I'm sure the disciples were scratching their head because they're like, how in the world can you owe 10,000 talents? But that wasn't the point. Jesus was making an illustration here. So this king brought unto him somebody who owed 10,000 talents. Here's a candy question. I didn't think I'd get to it so quickly. How much in talents? So if this man owed 10,000 talents, how much do you think the entire area or country, I'm not sure if it was a country, but of Palestine would have cost? Raise your hand if you have a guess. Nobody? Hey, there's candy up here. You can't, all you have to be is the nearest. So the whole country of Palestine, how many talents do you think? 100,000, okay.
250,000.
How many?
Million.
A million?
Million.
Oh, billion, I'm sorry.
I'll say a million.
Million? So I've got 250,000, 100,000, a billion, a million. What was you saying?
Is it in their time or our time?
Well, it would be, so he owed 10,000 talents then, this guy. So in their time, how many talents do you think the whole country?
1,000.
Talents. So is that all the? Well, I hope you didn't read your study notes, but Rhonda got it right on the dot. Oh, well, it's around 1,000 talents for the whole country, the area of Palestine. Yes, I was thinking big, like you guys. Back then, absolutely. But this guy back then owed 10,000 talents. That's 100 times more than the country was worth. Okay, so after service, you get your first pick, and whatever's left, somebody gets the other one. Okay, so 1,000 talents, they're approximate. All right, so the thing is, if you go now to verse 25, so the king is still talking. For as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold. Interesting. And his wife and children. So the man's sin was affecting his whole family and all that he had, everything, and payment to be made. So in other words, whatever I can get out of this man, he owes me 10,000 talents and the whole country's worth 1,000. So he's going to get what he can out of this man through his family and through putting them all in prison. And so, verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, of course, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. It's such an amount that it's just unfathomable. Okay, that's like me saying, look, if you loan me $1 billion, I'll pay you back. I mean, what must I do to make $1 billion? Lie, cheat, steal, and everything else, and I'm not going to do that. But the thing is, this guy's saying, have pity on me, and or have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And so here we go. Verse 27. Then the Lord, that's Jesus, of that servant, was moved with compassion and loosed him. See, they had already seized him. They were ready to cast him into prison. And forgave him the debt. An unfathomable amount of money. He forgave it. Think about that. So much money, none of us would be able to pay. That ought to be your first clue that he's talking about sin. We don't have any amount, no amount of righteousness, no amount of good deeds, no amount of doing whatever for the Lord could ever repay what he's given us. Okay? So Jesus is talking about, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Somebody owes me a lot, an exorbitant amount, and he had compassion and he forgave him the debt. All right, verse 28. But the same servant, okay, the one that just got forgiven of billions of dollars in that day, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Yeah, you know, there's a hierarchy. So he found one of his servants, which owed him 100 pence. Candy question number 2. All I'm going to ask you is take a guess. How many days' wages would 100 pence represent? I'll give you a, I think you have to be disqualified, Rhonda. You've already won one of them. I'll give you a hint, though. A pence is the same as a denaria or denari. All right? Well, so just give me a number of days. How many days' wages do you think this is? 100?
A week?
A year?
A month?
Anybody else? Hey, there's candy bar riding on it.
75.
75. 2 years worth? Okay, well, again, we have somebody who hit it right on the mark. It's 100 days, right? So at the end of the service, Rhonda picks hers, and unless she's gracious, she might let you have first pick. But the point is, the candy belongs to you two. 100 days' wages, just 100 pence. Now think of the difference here. 100 days' wages has nothing to do, or there's no comparison to the 10,000 talents. Okay, talents, by the way, is a weight, usually of gold or silver. And it's just very expensive to even have a talent. But this man is not even in the talent range. He's in the 100 pence range. 100 days' wages. Okay. So Jesus is comparing the amount of sin to be forgiven. Well, what happens? And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. In other words, I want my money and I want it now. 100 days' wages. when he himself owed so much that he just couldn't possibly pay. Remember, Jesus is comparing this to heaven. Got to keep that in mind. The Lord or the King is reckoning with his servants. So he reckoned with the first servant, and now that servant is reckoning with this servant. Verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down. This is kind of like deja vu. He fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Same thing he told the other, the king himself. How'd that go? Did it go over well? Verse 30. And he would not. Folks, this is what's wrong with a lot of churches. They know to forgive. They know to forgive wrongs, past hurts, and other things. But they will not. And once you get that kind of stubborn attitude about you, that in itself can affect your healing. Whether you realize it or not, unforgiven sins can affect your healing. But not just that. What else can it affect? So he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Well, first of all, when you put somebody in prison, how are they going to pay you? You know, they can only do it by punishing them for, you know, for whatever. Or maybe, and this was a common practice back in that day, is if they cast you into prison, that made you to basically ask people on the outside to bail you out. And the way they would bail you out in this case is to come up with the money to pay that man the 100 pence. And so that's what he was looking for, was somebody to pay him, and that way he would not get out of prison until he paid the debt. That could have been a life sentence, folks, over 100 days' wages. Verse 31. And so when his fellow servants, okay, so he had other friends and fellow servants, saw what was done, they were very sorry. In other words, they felt so much sadness and sorrow for the way he treated that other servant. And so they went and became tattletales. In this case, it's okay. And came and told unto the Lord all that was done. So what did they tell him? Well, he was forgiven all this amount of money, and they knew it. And when he went to another servant, he would not forgive him his debt. He wouldn't even be paid. You know, he could have even kept the debt and let the man have time to pay it off. But he didn't even do that. He decided he wanted it now, and he wanted to put him in prison. Verse 32. Then his Lord, who are we talking about now? This is Jesus. He's likened what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus is Lord and will be the one who will reckon with all of his servants. That's us, folks, all of us. We will have to give an account to him that is our Lord and our Savior. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Now, stop for a moment. What prompted this story? What prompted it? Do you remember? It was Peter's question. Peter's question about how often should I forgive? And that prompted this story. So Jesus said, well, wait a minute, Peter, you got your numbers all wrong. You want to say 7 times, but I'm telling you 70 times 7, but not really 490. And so he decided to go ahead and give him an illustration. And so this is what heaven is like, Peter. He said, it's like we have people who owe debts. That's sin. People who owe debts. Some owe a lot, some owe a little bit. But the fact is, I forgave this guy an amount that he could not pay. Absolutely, for the rest of his life, would not have been able to pay. But he forgave him. And now he turns around and goes to his fellow servant. That's like us and you all and our interactions with each other. Okay? If there's a debt you owe to me, if you sinned against me, or if I've sinned against you, we need to reconcile this, and we need to to ask for forgiveness. I should ask for forgiveness for any wrong that I might do, and vice versa. Okay? Not grab you by the throat and throw you into prison or take you into court. That's what people do nowadays. They take you to court because you owe a certain amount of money. Well, the Lord said, and this is why I want you to think carefully, put your thinking caps on. If he owed a sin debt and was forgiven, what do we call that? Saved, right? But because his actions did not represent a saved person, look what the Lord calls him. A wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. In other words, he begged him. And the Lord had compassion. So he forgave him all of that debt. Just so much that he couldn't possibly. So when people claim you can't lose your salvation, I'm sorry. Well, folks, I think this teaches otherwise. Because the Lord calls this guy that was forgiven and let go. He calls him a wicked servant. And he said, I forgave thee all that debt. Next verse, 33. He's asking him a question. Shouldn't you have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Wow. That's a hard question. Lord, we pray, forgive me of my sins, but I'm not going to forgive you of yours. You might say something just verbally. I know people who go for years just because they got hurt in church. Oh, their feelings got hurt. Somebody didn't speak to me. We had somebody leave because they claimed, in fact, they sent me the email. And I thought it was, the way they started out, I thought it was a really nice email until they got to the bottom. Then they said, I think this is the unfriendliest church there is and nobody would speak to me. And we started asking around. It turned out she was spoken to at the door, but wouldn't even acknowledge it. And I even told her, I said, well, with COVID, you know, we don't know who wants to be approached. I mean, some people want to go around unclean, you know, don't want anybody coming near you. And I said, but when I have gone to other places, I said, I've gotten up and introduced myself. You know, I didn't wait on people to come to me. I got up and introduced myself and said hello and all this stuff. My goodness, folks, people get, they wear their feelings on their sleeves, which I don't have, short ones. But the thing is, people wear their feelings on their sleeves and they blame the church for some little infraction, okay? Now, sometimes there's big infractions, I know. Sometimes there's big. But the Lord had pity on this man, and he's saying, well, wait a minute. If I had pity on you, shouldn't you go out and have pity on other people? I was reading a book. Me and Aaron, we kind of joke about it. When something doesn't go our way, or somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to at work and whatnot, we tell each other to lower expectations. Lower expectations. Because if you don't lower expectations, you're going to expect people to do whatever, and then you're going to be angry all the time. You're just going to be angry. Lower your expectations. Verse 34, and we're getting ready to wind up here. And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors. Where do you think that might be? Whoo, I wouldn't want to be delivered to the tormentors. My goodness, after being forgiven of such a wild debt, now I'm delivered to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. And I'm sure what that means is that he should be punished for the amount that was owed. And it was an insurmountable amount. This would probably be an eternity. Think about that, folks. Think about that, folks. If you're holding on to some kind of bitterness, to some kind of unforgiveness. And you may not know that you are. You just suddenly, when you see somebody, you have bad feelings. You know, you have thoughts that aren't good. Like, I hate to see them, but I've actually seen some videos people post on Twitter and some other things that they think people like me, okay, that if I don't get vaccinated, that I should be killed or lose my job. And they'll come right out and say they need to be just totally separated from society. No mercy, no pity. Don't even ask me my reasons, but that's how they feel, and that's how they put it. No forgiveness in their heart. So this man was delivered to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him, which probably took till eternity. Verse 35, and we're going to wind up with these couple of verses here. So Jesus winds up the story and he says, so likewise, listen folks, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. He's talking to his disciples. Grasp that, folks. He's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to just unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Wow. My heavenly Father might turn on me if I harbor unforgiveness in my heart. And it doesn't say most. It says everyone, his brother, their trespasses. And I want to close with this. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, because he had given what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. And at the end of that, he said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's great. If I forgive, my Father will forgive. Okay? Ah, two sides of that coin. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a sobering thought. Think of that. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who may be harboring some kind of unforgiveness, bitterness, or hardness of heart, God, that you will take these words and that you will soften their heart. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as removing that heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. God, a heart that we can have compassion on one another. Some hurts, Lord, I know go very deep. They're very strong. But yet, we're told to forgive. And if we don't, our Heavenly Father won't forgive. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us a heart of flesh, and that we can have a soft heart and have pity on other people, lower expectations, and forgive one another. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.